So good morning, everyone, and thank you for coming today. My name is Aline Alvarez, and today I'm going to talk to you about some of the results that I found during my master's thesis experiment in University of Florida, which was on the use of biochar and mill ash to grow sugarcane in sandy soils located in South Florida. First, I'm going to give you a small background of the study and then a little bit of the methods, and I'll go ahead and talk about the properties of the amendment, the results that we found on sugarcane yield, and soil properties. So first, sugarcane is a tall perennial row crop that is a member of the grass family. It is usually grown in the tropics and the subtropics, and it has four growth phases: germination, or establishment, tillering, grand growth period, and ripening phase. And each of these stages has different nutrient requirements that are seen in the lower graph. And in Florida, sugarcane is the most valuable row crop. It's grown mostly in organic soils that are very fertile or they are very productive. And around 20% is grown in sandy soils. These sandy soils are located in the northwest of the Everglades agricultural area where this star is, and they're characterized with a very low organic matter, low water holding capacity, and low nutrient retention. This usually results in lower yields, and also it increases costs as you have to apply more fertilizer and like split applications during the growing season. So one way to improve these sandy soils we thought about using organic amendments that were local. One of them was mill ash, that is a common byproduct from the sugar mill process. It's the material that is scrubbed off from the sugarcane mill boilers after the bagasse is burnt. And then we used the biochar, three types of biochar. Is this the carbon-rich product that is currently being investigated for its properties to increase crop growth and water quality improvements as well as soil. So the goal of my experiment was to investigate these four amendments and see if they had a potential to improve soil properties and improve sugarcane productivity at the same time that we were giving a use to these local residues. And we hypothesized that with higher application rates, we're going to increase nutrient availability, organic matter, and the cation exchange capacity that will then increase the sugarcane yield. Our objectives were to characterize the amendments and then to determine the effect of applying these amendments at 1 and 2% rate for sugarcane biomass and sucrose yield and soil physicochemical properties of the sandy soils. This is a picture of the materials. The first one on your left is the mill ash, and then on the top are the feedstocks, which were rice hulls, barn shavings with horse manure, and hardwood yard waste. And below is the biochar material that was produced between 350 and 400 degrees Celsius. So we used four amendments. They applied at two rates, and we also applied, some sugarcane growers apply mill ash at 6% rate, so we decided to use this as a standard practice treatment. We also had a control with fertilizer only and four replications of each. And all of these, the treatments and the control received the same fertilization, like according to the recommended rates to grow sugarcane in the sandy soils. This is the idea I'm going to be using for the results. AS is mill ash, RH is rice hulls biochar, HY is hardwood yard waste biochar, and HM is barn shavings with horse manure biochar, and the number indicates the rate of application. We grew germinated the sugarcane in the greenhouse, and then we transplanted those to a 70-gallon lysimeter. During the day of harvesting, we counted the number of millable stalks. We calculated biomass yield. We obtained the bricks and pole to obtain percent sucrose and then also sucrose yield. In the soil analysis, we analyzed three soil samples at the beginning, middle, and end of the experiment. And the statistical analysis, we used an ANOVA with a Tukey method for pairwise comparisons. And this is the result table with the results of amendment characterization. So the first thing to notice is that nitrogen was low for all of these amendments, which is expected, and the carbon was higher. That resulted in most of them had a carbon to nitrogen ratio that was high. In the case of the hardwood yardwood biochar and horse manure biochar, as well as the mill ash, but then rice hulls biochar had a lower carbon to nitrogen ratio. Phosphorus was highest with horse manure biochar and rice hulls biochar, and the mill ash had a higher calcium, magnesium, and aluminum, while hardwood yardwoods had higher iron. All of these amendments had a high pH. They have a high organic matter and water holding capacity and a low bulk density. And the CEC was highest for mill ash and rice hulls biochar. These are the results for sugarcane yield. On the left is biomass, where we found that the treatments of rice hulls applied at 2% and all mill ash treatments significantly increased the biomass yield compared to the control. And this increase was of around 30%. We also saw in sucrose yield a significant increase when we used rice hulls applied at 2% and mill ash applied at 6% in comparison to the control. This table has a lot of numbers, but what I want to show the most is there was a critical nitrogen deficiencies. This is common in these sandy soils that have very low organic matter and there's high rainfall. And we had some other deficiencies of magnesium, iron, zinc, and copper. But the interesting thing was the silicon content was highest with mill ash and rice hulls. And this silicon is an important nutrient for sugarcane growth, and it has been correlated with increasing yield. So this might be an effect that we're seeing in the yield from the use of this amendment. The pH increased with the use of all of this of this amendment. However, rice hulls amendments showed a decrease over time, and this could be related to its lower carbon to nitrogen ratio that could favor mineralization and then nitrification and the natural acidification of the soil. Soil organic matter also showed an increase with the application at the highest rate. And this did not decrease over time. This is important because it shows that there can be a stable organic matter added with these amendments and possible long-term carbon stability. And in this, the lowercase level letters represent differences between treatments, and across you see the difference over time across the three sampling dates. MELIC 3 phosphorus showed the significant difference between the control and mill ash and rice hulls treatments. So when we applied this one, there was always an increase, and this increase was kept over time as well. In cation exchange capacity, we only saw an increase when we used mill ash applied at 6%, rice hulls applied at 2%, and mill ash applied at 2%. The cation exchange capacity was kept over time. But an interesting thing is that rice hulls showed an increase, and this agrees with some of the literature that says that biochar itself doesn't necessarily have a high CEC, but it is over time after you add it to the soil that there are microbially enhanced oxidation reactions that can like change the surface to be more negative. In soil available nitrogen was high at the beginning with no differences between the controls and the treatments, and this is most likely effect of fertilizer. And then we see that after that it decreased, and we also see that there were deficiencies in our sugarcane plants. So most likely with rain events, a lot of that is lost, even though with the split applications. The plant usually probably used it, and then it was lost through drainage. So in summary, mill ash applied at 6% and rice hulls applied at 2% had the highest sucrose and biomass yield compared with the control. All of the amendments significantly increased the pH, and the organic matter content increased with the highest application rates, and there was no decrease over time. Melic 3 phosphorus and CEC increase when we use the mill ash applied at 6% and also rice hulls applied at 2%, and that did not decrease over time as well. And there we saw very little effect of this amendment on in terms of nitrogen availability. So we, from the study, we can conclude that mill ash applied at 6% and rice hulls applied at 2% have the most potential to be used as organic amendments. This because they increase the sugarcane yields, they increase organic matter phosphorus availability and cation exchange capacity with no significant decrease over time. And overall, we didn't see any negative effects from the use of mill ash or biochar, which is important because sometimes we find negative effects with their addition. So in this case, we didn't find any negative effects, but these are the two treatments that have like the most positive agronomic benefits. And for future research, I think this study should be conducted in the field and also through three harvesting, so 3-year ratoon. And also look at the environmental impacts at the field scale and conduct some economic analysis to see the cost of producing this biochar and also the spreading of both the mill ash and biochar amendments. And I would like to thank my master's advisor, Samira Daroub, and Timothy Lang, and all these other people that helped me during my master's, and agritech producers at North Carolina State University that helped me with the biochar production, and the Everglades Research and Education Center where I conducted my study. And thank you, and I'll take any questions. We didn't test that for this mill ash. Yeah, we looked more at the nutrient content, but it will have a lower volatile matter. I don't remember the exact number, but I can look that for you if you want. Yeah.
So beer ash has been produced from this.
Is the when
morning bonus or something like that?
So when the bagasse is put in the boilers, it's burnt to produce fuel for the energy of the process. So it's burnt, and all that is left in the boiler and that is scrubbed down. That's what the mill ash is. So they use that to produce the energy for all the processes in the sugarcane during sugarcane milling. Mm-hmm.
Any other questions? Yeah. You talked about the sugar content, but I mean, you mentioned it, but could you speak to that at all in relation to the amendments?
So in relation to the percent sucrose?
Yeah.
Okay, so in general, our percent sucrose was around 11-12%, and that might be a little bit lower because than what is normal because we harvest a little bit early in the season. But then sandy soils tend to have a higher percent sucrose compared to when you grow the sugarcane in sandy soils, you tend to have a higher percent sucrose compared to the muck soils. But we didn't really see that because we harvested a little bit earlier. Even though there is higher sucrose, you get still your lower yields because you have less area to produce. But it was around 11 to 12%. Oh, there were no differences between the treatments in terms of percent sucrose, yeah. But when we add that with the biomass yield, the sucrose yield is where we saw the differences.
All right, one more. Well, I have a quick question. What is the texture? You say sandy soil. Maybe you mentioned the percent sand. I didn't catch it.
No, well, it's very sandy. It has like a 0.81% organic matter.
What's like the silt and clay content? I mean, when you say very sandy, that might mean one thing one person, another thing to another.
Uh-huh.
So what was the percent sand in that?
I would not have the exact number in my head.
Those soils run
but it's
90%
very...
Yeah, 90% sand? Okay.
Yeah, 90%.
And then what's the clay content?
Clay content is between 2 and 3%.
Okay. And do farm on that.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay. All right, thank you.
Thank you.